Turning now to the scripture from which we will be addressing you tonight, that passage from Matthew, sometimes called the Sermon on the Mount, or it was preached on a mountain, or at least on a rise above the Sea of Galilee. And reading together from Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, hear again God's word. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and hide it and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ye are the light of the world. Here is one of the most astounding statements about a Christian ever made. Ye are the light of the world. The Christian serves a useful purpose in this world. He is both salt, as we have seen in the past, and he is also light, as we will try to see tonight. Not one, not the other, but both, salt and light. Salt is a very unobserved substance outwardly. You observe it by the taste or by the effect that it has when it cleanses a wound. But light is openly observed, clearly seen. That is its very purpose, isn't it? And who are the lights or the light of this world? He says, so does our Lord Jesus Christ, ye are the light. Not the mass of humanity, not the natural man, not the man in the streets, but the Christian, those who have already been described by him in the Beatitudes as poor in spirit, as mourners, as meek. They are the light. Ye are to be that way. And ye, all of ye, all of you, all of you are to be the light of the world, who are Christians. But especially ministers. We want to think about this word world. We've thought about the word ye. Now think with me for a few minutes about the world. This is the human race, the inhabited world, the world of mankind, particularly, of course, the unconverted world of mankind. Now, certain things are clearly implied about this world. And the very first thing that's very obvious, if you think about it, is that the world is in darkness. Why else would it need light? We are the light of the world. The Bible describes, quote, the way of the wicked as darkness, Proverbs 4:19. The world is in darkness. Should I stop and read? Perhaps I should, at least a passage or two. This is language is more numerous than I can possibly allude to. But John chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That may be sufficient, but let me turn to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. No, that's Philippians. I am sorry. I need to turn to Peter. Chapter 2 and verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people of God's own possession, might be a better translation, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we see clearly that the world is in darkness. And the Christian is light and has been called from that darkness into light. Those who do not believe and follow Christ walk in darkness, we are told. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Allusion to this, one of the psalms, the psalm that we sang today. He shall have the light of life. Light brings life. But those without it are still in darkness. Those who will not follow Christ and believe will walk always, continually in darkness. Paul says that the unconverted man is darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Previously, they were sometimes darkness. Their very being seems to be dark. They seem to carry darkness with them where they go. Everything about them is darkness. They seem to bear within their own being a cloud of darkness. And they disseminate darkness. Maybe we could say they radiate darkness, though light is what we radiate. But they seem to be able to give forth darkness, it seems. There is no light in the wicked, says Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Therefore, the world needs what? Needs light. But not only does the world need light, it also needs sight. You see, the world is blind, and when the light shines, it cannot see the light. Does the light shine? If Christians are doing what they should be doing, if you and I are doing what we should be doing, if the church is doing what it should be doing, ye in the plural, as we've talked about, well, maybe we didn't say as much about it as we should, I'll say a little more in the future. Ye are the light of the world. So it does come into the world, light does, and shines, hopefully with some radiance. Do they see it? No. They seem to carry darkness with them, and they are blind and cannot see the light when it is shining. So the darkness is not only outward, it's inward because of their blindness. Their darkness is in great part because they are blind. About this, Paul is very clear. Now listen, chapter 4 of Ephesians in the 18th verse, and I read to you once again. having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It goes on to speak about other things as well. And 2 Corinthians, where we read in the third chapter and the 14th verse of 2 Corinthians, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." He's talking about those who should have had more light than anyone else in the world, those who were Jewish, those who were Israel, those who were taught the Holy Scriptures and had much light from the Word of God, as well as from the life of those around them. But they were still in darkness. It was like a veil over their minds. They were blind spiritually and in darkness. And in the fourth chapter, the third and fourth verses, "But if our gospel is hid," Paul is assuming that it is, "but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So Satan has come. The God of this world would be the devil himself, has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever, whether he be Jew or Gentile. And Jesus spoke about this also, some length, John chapter 12, and I'll pick up at verse 35 and only read a few verses, but there's much more about it in this chapter 12. Well, let's see. I'm picking up with verse 35, yes. "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while, yet a little while is the light with you." He is the light, and he's with them for a little while. "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." So, men are blind. They walk in darkness. And much of that is because of their spiritually blinded sight. And this is true of ministers, teachers, those who ought to know but do not. So what do men need? They need light and they need sight. Both, not one, both. No man can give the blind sight. None can give sight to the blind but God. We are boxed up to God, aren't we? So we've spoken about part of the text. Ye, Christians, believers, are the light of the world. And the world is the human race, that inhabited world that is in darkness and needs light and needs sight. And now the longest of our points will be to deal with ye are the light of the world. Now what is light? What is light? It's a great mystery. Even the scientists don't know what it is. They have conjectures about it, but they don't understand light. It's a mystery, even in the scientific world. Oh, well, all their theories seem to come and go. They have one this year and they have another next year, but they don't understand it. But it can be understood to some degree by contrasting it with other things. Now, we are salt as well as light. We are both salt and light. Now to understand the nature of light, let's look at the contrast and the comparisons that might help us. Salt is what? A very humble, lowly substance. Light is what? A radiant, glorious, bright, brilliant thing. Think about the contrast. Salt mixes with what it salts. Light is always separate and different. Never mixed. Light does not become a part of the thing that it shines upon. The darkness that it lightens adds nothing. Is never mixed. Salt quietly works to make the bad better, the insipid tasty. Light searches and exposes and reveals the hidden works of darkness, brings them out into the open. Salt works invisibly, almost, most of the time. You don't see the salt. But the very nature and purpose of light is to be visible, to be seen. A light set on a hill cannot be hid. It shines everywhere, off in the distance, farther than you think. It cannot be hid. Light represents all that is the highest, the purest, and the best. In contrast, darkness represents everything that is evil, wrong, the very worst of things. The Christian, however, being the light of the world, is a derived light. Jesus Christ is the true light who lightens every man that comes into this world, even if they can't see him, understand him, and therefore believe. Christ is the light of the world, first and foremost. And he is underived light. He has the light of life in him. So we read again about this whole issue of light and darkness in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. I think I read it before, but maybe it needs to be read once more. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light of the world. Walk as children of light. And then in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 and following, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ and that I may not have run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, Christians are light, but derived. Jesus Christ himself is the underived source of light, and he is reflected in us and shines forth from our lives into this world. Now, since the Christian is light, he is light, then above everything else, he is to let it shine. I think I read it earlier, and I think I should perhaps stop and read it again. We need to hear the text more than once. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. There's a little chorus we sang when I was a child, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Maybe you didn't sing it, but that's all right. I won't call it a significant thing, but not insignificant. But we do have that idea, and we should keep it uppermost, that we should be shining as Christians, shining as lights, not to hide, not to conceal the light in our life, but to let it shine openly, clearly, gloriously shine forth and shine in the darkness in this crooked age, this perverse generation in which we live. Now, on those whom the Christian's light shines are blind. So they still cannot see, though there is light to be seen. They do not see it. But God is in the business of giving sight. He causes the blind to see. Only He, but He does. How does our light, think about it, how does our light shine as Christians? Well, it shines by alliteration I'm using, lip and life. We speak the word of God. And we bring light when we do, when we bring the word to men. The word of God is light. And so we bring light and we shine by the way in which we speak. Speak of Christ. Speak of God. Speak of the gospel. Speak of faith. Speak of repentance. All of these things bring light to men's path. But especially we shine when we live the truth. You would do God a favor if you could shut men up, close their mouth so they don't talk so much about God even. Because it's totally inconsistent with the way they live. But by our lives we should be shining and showing forth the praises of God. Even more than by our lips is the life to shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may do what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, there's a mystery. This light shines through the good works. Actually, the Greek word is beautiful. The beautiful works. Well, they are beautiful if they're done as they should be done for God and for His glory. Our light is primarily reflected in a believer's life. That light is a reflected light. And yet, in the humble, in the righteous, in the merciful, in the pure, in the peaceable walk, before the family, before friends, before strangers, the Christian shines. Not only by his words, which can be cheap if not backed up with his walk, but also by his life, by his walk, as he lives with the Lord and walks with the Lord and shows forth the works of the Lord. In fact, Dr. Dabney, a great Southern Presbyterian theologian, had an uncle who was an unbeliever, hardened. I mean hardened. He was not married. Became sick. Seems like it was probably cancer from the descriptions that are given. And the uncle came to live in the home of Dr. Dabney's mother and sister, the home in which Dr. Dabney had lived. And Dr. Dabney said, I sought every opportunity to speak to him, my uncle, about the Lord. And I did give a witness and a testimony. And do you know, the Lord did a marvelous work and saved that hard, callous uncle. And Dr. Dabney said, I had opportunity to ask him, how he was brought to know the Lord. Was it by this statement that I made or that statement that I tried to enforce with him? Oh, no, he said. It was the life of your sister. I could not gainsay the way she lived before me. There is the power of life. Let your light shine, that your good works may be seen, recognized for what they are, and your Father glorified. But though light is to shine, we are admonished to glorify our Father. How can I, who do the work of good works, beautiful works, glorify God when I'm the one doing them? Maybe you're thinking about that sort of thing. Well, it certainly is something to think about. A mystery to some degree. So let me read to you from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, a couple of verses. Listen carefully. Take heed that ye do not your alms, your gifts, your charitable gifts, before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. It's the strangest thing, isn't it? We're not to make a show. We're not to be ostentatious. We're not to take to ourselves the praise, the glory. We lose our reward if we do. Maybe you're not after rewards, or maybe you are. Most people are. Well, they're altogether wrong when they're thinking this way. There's no contradiction. Let your light so shine that we might glorify our Father, the Father in heaven. But how is it possible for God to get the glory when it is my work? Oh, my dear friends, that's the very essence of Christianity and of the gospel. If you do not understand it, you do not understand the gospel. Let me explain. All counterfeit, all imitations of Christian faith are all full of self-righteousness and self-glory. They are vain glorious, these imitations, these counterfeits of Christianity that men live with, professing Christians who are not. Humbugs they are. I pray God would keep me from ever falling into that trap. And we do have to pray against it and work against it, as it were, and ask the Lord to keep us from that pretense. We wouldn't become humbugs. You see, all genuine Christianity gets God all of the glory. What has Christ been doing? Maybe it's been long enough so that I need to remind you. He's been giving a sermon. And how did he begin his sermon? by describing the Christian. How did he describe the Christian? By what works can a Christian be described? What did he say? Blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek, the merciful, the poor in heart, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Well, think about that. Persecuted. Blessed are those persecuted. That's strange. These all get God glory and get man none of the glory. When we are doing this way, when we're behaving like Christ has told us to behave, when we are acting as genuine Christians should be acting, we will not get any glory to ourselves. We will show forth the works of God and bring Him all the glory. And none will come to us. These works can be explained when they are genuine, as with Dabney's sister, only by God's supernatural work in us. And so God will be glorified by the way we live and show forth His praise as poor mourners, meek, not weak, meek, even persecuted for righteousness' sake. I can tell you that uncle persecuted the sister of Dr. Dabney day and night. She never broke, never retaliated, walked humbly, served him as she would wish to do. She did it for God and His glory. And he was delivered out of his darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These, I say, will get glory to God because they're done only in faith and always done in faith. Faith is a receiving virtue. It receives everything. We have nothing, and yet we have everything. We are poor, yet we are rich. Think about this. This is true Christianity. They can only be explained. The Christian can only be explained. The works can only be explained as a supernatural work of God Himself. What is there in your life that can only be explained as the product of God's action, His work, supernaturally? There's no other explanation for the works of a Christian, man, woman, or child. The Christian is a wonder, in some ways to himself, but to others particularly, a wonder in the world. How is it with our church, with this congregation? Ye is in the plural, second person plural. Is our light pure, bright, radiant, warm, as we live before this watching world? Now, it is your light. The light of any group is made up of the individual lights. But it is bigger and greater and more brilliant and more irrefutable in some ways, even though the life of one individual can be irrefutable too, as with Dr. Dabney's sister. But in you who are Christians, there is light. And the only explanation is God. Maybe a wonder to some, and it will be to many, a wonder to some in your family, your friends. Not all have rejoiced in that light, for that light exposes their dark deeds, and they react against that light when they see it in another's life or in the whole congregation's life. Some are leaving you because they see the light. They see it in the minister, they see it in the elders, they see it in the members of the church, and they do not like it. They abhor it. They hate it. They hate God, and they hate the light. And they will not come to the light, that their evil deeds might be exposed. But some of you are proud, and you've done some good works, and you're quite puffed up, and you've taken the glory to yourself. Not to your father. Either they were the wrong kinds of works, or they were done wrongly, not in faith, not with understanding and faith. Done for the wrong reason. Done for ostentation, for show, to bring glory to yourself. Carnal works, works of the flesh, even though they were good works. They were done in the flesh, not in faith. Not that the works were evil. They were commendable and right that you should do those. You should not have left them undone in one way, but not for yourself with your pride and your vainglory. You see how tricky, deceitful is the human heart. The scribes and the Pharisees, oh, they were godly people in some ways, outwardly at least. And inwardly they were what? Jesus says, whited sepulchres, full of dead men's bones, lovely on the outside, garnishing the sepulchres. But inside, oh, inwardly, pride. Oh, the sins of the religious. Our works can become so easily self-righteous, and God will never get the glory, not from a self-righteous man, woman, or child. We take it all, and we need to repent. We need to go to Christ and to learn from Him who is meek and lowly in heart, and find rest for our souls. He is ultimately the light of the world. And we are in Him light and life for others. Because we are in Christ, He will shine through us and get the glory to Himself when He does. Because you're living a life of faith. So He can make the blind to see, and He can make the dark light. And He's done that with us as Christians. But there may be some today who are hard and blind so that they cannot see. They cannot understand. Maybe you have a veil over your mind tonight as I preach. You don't understand what I've said. It's a mystery. It's kind of puzzling. Contradictory, you might think, even. I didn't mean to be contradictory, and I'm sure I'm not. But you may think so because you don't understand. You live in darkness and you love it. And if you do not repent and follow Christ, the light of life, then you will be cast into outer darkness forever, where there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. But let me speak to ministers and to myself first. We're in the greatest danger of all who stand before men and address them about these things, and yet do not live as we should, do not show forth the light as we should. Paul said to the young minister Timothy, take heed to thyself and to thy doctrine, to thy teaching. So I must do the same. Am I giving forth light in such a way as to bring glory to God and to our Father, the Father in heaven, not to myself? May God grant that to the ministers, to the elders, to those who are teachers. An awesome thing to be a teacher. Pray for me, for your elders. Pray for one another. Pray for the teachers in the church. But pray for yourself, for the whole congregation. Pray one for another, that we might shine and bring glory to God, to our Father, who is in heaven. Let us stand for prayer. It is astonishing what we read. And we do not ever understand it correctly when we understand it as natural, unbelieving, faithless men. Give us understanding, but more, give us faith that brings that true understanding, so that we might embrace Christ and Him alone as our Savior, as the light of the world, and our light, the light that has shined in the darkness, the light of life. Oh, Father, may we also, by your great work, your supernatural work, doing a good thing, a remarkable, a marvelous thing in our poor lives, let us shine also as lights in this world, that we might get glory to God, not just by our lips, by our life. We ask this to your praise, and we ask it in the name of our Redeemer, the only Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.